to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean. How are you?
Hello. How is it?
How is what?
Everything. It.
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 It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Had some sushi.
We did. We went out for sushi, which was nice.
Yeah. Conveyor belt sushi, the best kind.
Love a conveyor belt sushi. Didn't really love being so close to other people. Like, there's still a pandemic.
We went
people.
The one day, and it wasn't that crowded.
Hey, it still wasn't that crowded, but I'm just like, my breath is too close to these people.
Your breath is too close to me.
So, but it was good. I appreciate conveyor belt sushi. I believe all food should be delivered to me via conveyor belt from now on.
On small plates.
On small plates. I think everything should be a Tapas restaurant with a conveyor belt.
Mm, yes.
Yes, please.
I appreciate
all burgers that. Should be sliders, and they should be sent to me from the kitchen via conveyor belt, and I'd be happy about it.
That'd be great if you're just sitting there and there's sushi and then also just a burger appears.
Like a slider.
Borger.
A borger.
Yeah. Boyga.
A boyga?
Did I talk about the boyga yet?
I don't know if you've mentioned the boyga on the show. You've told me about the boyga.
The boyga is a creation of Mighty Taco and Buffalo, the Mighty Taco franchise.
It's not just a Buffalo-based franchise, is it?
It's Western New York. I mean, there's... Actually, it's a good question where it's actually located.
Not out here.
I mean, it's not anywhere. I've never seen it anywhere outside of Buffalo.
Okay.
Outside of the general area.
Yeah.
But it is basically just a sloppy Joe on what's known as a Costanzo roll.
What is a Costanzo roll?
It's a certain, well, it's just like a roll you put beef on weck on.
Like, is it like a specifically hard roll?
It's kind of like a hard roll.
Specific dough?
It's, I don't know. It's just like a hard roll that is substantial enough to handle the beef on weck, which, you know, people love in Buffalo.
What's a beef on weck?
Beef on Kimmel weck bread. That's what it's called. Maybe, actually, I don't know, because it would technically be Kimmel weck then, but... I don't know. It's just a substantial roll.
It's a hearty roll.
It's a hearty roll.
That's what you're selling me.
So, because that's what the thing is. Like, you get it. It's a hearty roll.
Mm.
And they have, like, you know, different, like, the taco beef.
Mm-hmm.
But they put that as, like, a sloppy Joe concoction on a sandwich. And they, instead of calling it a burger, they call it a boyga.
Why?
I don't know. Because it sounds funny. And
oh, okay. Fair enough.
B-O-I-G-A, boyga, boyga. And I was committed to trying one because I had to tell Joe about it.
Yeah.
Our friend, our good friend Joe Todaro, who lives in L.A., and he's like, damn it, I'm not in town to enjoy the boyga.
I know. So he was probably very, very upset about the... Missing the boyga.
Sweatpants Joe Eats on his YouTube channel.
He's been, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he was doing like a chicken sandwich a month. Or
a chicken sandwich a day.
For a month on his YouTube channel.
He was doing that. Now he's kind of moved on to hot dogs and
yes.
And
well, I saw him tweet something like right before we went on because apparently P.F. Chang's is going to have like an orange chicken sandwich now.
Oh, really?
And he was like, oh, hot damn. So so he might have to try that. It'll probably put it on his YouTube channel. But yeah, if you want to watch a guy talking about chicken sandwiches and other foods.
Joe be eating.
Check out Sweatpants Joe Eats.
Sweatpants Joe Eats. Sweatpants Joe Eats.
Sweatpants Joe Eats. He also has action figures that he opens. You can watch that.
He hasn't really done the action figures as much as he's been doing the food.
Well, yeah, I know he was also hunting for action figures. It's probably easier to find the food than it is some of these fucking figures.
Yeah, no, he has a thing. He has things he does, and we appreciate them. I have a cat.
Oh, you do have a cat. Hi, Luna.
I have a Luna.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do a comic today because we're a day late in releasing this, and things are just a little off kilter here. So we'll get back to the comics next week, but I want to talk about movies and trailers.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to do a little bit of a spoiler discussion about Shang-Chi, Apparently you've been saying that incorrectly, and I apologize.
I've been saying Shang-Chi.
I've been saying Shang-Chi, which is wrong. And they even tell you in the movie how to pronounce it.
Thank you, movie.
Chi. So we'll talk about that. But first we're going to talk about some trailers that came out. So on the day we're recording this, The Matrix Resurrection trailer came out. I was like, what the fuck is it called?
Resurrections.
I really forgot what it was called. I was like, oh, new Matrix.
I wasn't ready. You know how it goes these days is that
things come out and you go, oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, because they announced these projects like so long ago.
Yes.
They're like, oh, we're rebooting this. We're bringing this back.
Doesn't help with the vid because things got pushed out.
But it just feels like everything is just in this doughy state. It's just like wah, wah, wah. It's in this gelatinous state of being.
I would say American culture in general, especially entertainment culture, is a doughy state of being, and it has been for quite a while.
Totally. But they put out this trailer today of The Matrix, and so basically what we're supposed to believe is that
Neo went back in.
Yeah, he goes back in, but initially he was out.
Yeah. I have very little recollection of the last Matrix movie. I know I've seen it, but probably just once. So I don't remember what happened at the end of that. I thought they all got free, but maybe not. Because now, like, Neo's, like, back in the Matrix and, like, taking the, like, all sorts of blue pills.
Yeah, there's a lot of blue pills going on.
To keep himself from realizing he's in the Matrix, I guess. But I guess it's because Trinity's in the Matrix.
I don't know. I thought she was
And they love each other.
No, I thought she was in the bank with him. Because there was a scene where
she wakes up. There's that part where they meet each other and she goes, Have we met? At the very beginning.
Okay.
And then the guy who's not Lawrence Fishburne is like,
is that Leslie Snipes?
No, I don't know who that is.
Wesley Snipes.
No, I don't know who it is. I would have to look that up. But he's like, you're here because the person you love is here, or everything you love is here. And then they like cut to a
everything
shot.
Everything you love is here.
Of like
orange
him,
chicken sandwiches.
Him and Trinity. And I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe she went back in because she couldn't take it. Kind of like what Joey Pants does. Do you remember how Joey Pants, is he in the first one?
Yeah, he is.
Where he's like making a deal with like Mr. Anderson or something, and he's like, I just want to go back in. I don't want to remember all this shit. And I'm like, well, maybe Trinity went back into the Matrix, but I thought they destroyed it, so I don't know. I would have to watch it again because, and I was telling Sean this earlier, the only Matrix movie I really remember is the first one.
Yeah, I'm due for a rewatch.
I don't really remember the second and the third.
Oh, so actually the guy that plays the Neo guy that I thought was Wesley Snipes, his name is I don't want to pronounce it wrong, but Yahya, it's
Y-A-H-Y-A. Okay.
Abdul Mateen II, and he was Black Manta. He's in there, and apparently Christina Ricci's in this movie.
I did not see her.
No, I didn't see her either. And Priyanka Chopra Jonas, pretty lady that's married to the Jonas brother.
Yep.
That's what we're doing. You know, but I mean, I don't know. I'm due for a rewatch on those movies because those were cultural touchstones for at least the first one.
Oh, the first one for absolutely. I mean, shit, like bullet time infested movies after that.
Also just aesthetic too. Like
the aesthetic.
People dressing like, you know, just the cyberpunk culture and stuff. Like people really, really glommed on to that. And I remember the soundtrack because, you know, I was at back when I was in the, you know, in the radio stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember the soundtrack being kind of a banger.
If I remember correctly, because I do remember like a lot of my gothy friends at the time, like we had to see The Matrix. Like that was the thing.
I only saw it once though. Like I was one of those, I never really.
I feel like I might have seen it twice, but I was not a huge Matrix head. I know a lot of people who I knew were, but I really never like, you know, glommed onto it like I would have, like, with The Crow.
Yeah.
Like, I love the fucking Crow and, like, or The Craft. Like, those were the movies I, like, connected with. I didn't really connect that well with The Matrix. I thought it was fine.
Oh, that, okay, so, Matrix, the soundtrack had Deftones,
mm-hmm.
My Own Silver, yep. Which is a great jam. Also, Du Hast.
Oh, that's right. Du Hast was on that.
I think that was a lot of people's exposure to Rammstein.
Rammstein, yeah.
Some Rage Against the Machine is on there. We got some Prodigy.
Uh-huh.
Meat Beat Manifesto.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ministry, Bad Blood,
mm-hmm.
Which was off of the Dark Side of the Spoon album.
Yep.
And also some Marilyn Manson.
Yep, that makes sense.
For Rock is Dead.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that was a hot number back in the day.
It was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I need to watch those movies prior. I know. I've never seen the second and third movie.
I know I've seen them, but again, once, maybe.
Yeah.
So.
And I know they're kind of, those movies are kind of maligned.
In yeah. A way.
So I don't know. I think I'm due for a rewatch. For all those movies. But also the other trailers that came out was...
Carnage. Venom, or the Venom 2 trailer. Venom,
Let There Be Carnage.
Which we actually saw when we went to see Shang-Chi. So saw it in the theater for the first time.
Kind of say, I think Venom... Not Venom. I think Carnage looks like crap.
Like, I mean, I also think Venom looks like crap.
Venom looks stupid too. But.
It's too much CGI glop for me, and they're really trying to lean into this being funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedians are brought in, or comedy writers are brought in to punch up on this.
Yeah, people punch the script up because it really seems like this is supposed to be funny.
Or at least they're
at least the trailers are trying to make it that way.
They're trying to be more aggressive with the rest of the. The movie when it comes to comedy.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying to really, at least the trailers give it that impression.
Yeah.
But I feel like, cause that was something that was, kind of played up a little bit, you know, in the first movie.
So. Yeah. I feel like we're really trying to be like, it's a wacky buddy comedy.
Also is it something where everybody knows that Eddie Brock is Venom?
I don't know. We've had this discussion because the first teaser trailer where he like goes in there and like the lady behind the fucking counter says hi to Venom really upset me.
Yeah.
Really, really upset me because everybody knows he's Venom and I am not okay with it. He has a literal alien inside of his body and everybody knows about it and the government hasn't come for him. What are you, crazy?
Right, he just kind of hangs out and exists, like because I think in the first movie, didn't his girl, like his lady friend,
she became Lady Venom
at one point.
Yes, she did.
And then the way that it played up is he goes to see her and this guy, her new fiance, I guess.
Uh huh.
And then there's a moment where he, you know, Eddie.
Or Venom gets all mad.
Venom gets mad because Eddie's like, hey, congratulations. And then he punches him.
Yeah.
Because Venom makes him punch him.
Right.
And the guy that's, you know, the fiance's like, oh, they need couples therapy. So like, so apparently he knows.
He must, right?
You know, he's aware because he doesn't like get out and start fighting Eddie.
Plus, like then Woody Harrelson, who apparently plays a serial killer in this.
Cletus Cassidy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know anything about the backstory of Carnage.
Well, that's basically the backstory of Carnage is that Cletus Cassidy is a serial killer, mm-hmm. or was a serial killer, and he shared a jail cell with Eddie Brock.
Oh, okay.
And Eddie Brock got broken out, and some of his alien goo got left behind, and it glommed on to Cletus, and it made him into Carnage.
Okay, because what it looks like is happening in this trailer is Cletus calls Eddie to be like, do you want to interview me? Because he's a journalist, yes. Right? And then he must know that Eddie Brock is Venom because he like bites him.
Yes, yes. He's sitting there and he's like, this will truly be the greatest article about a serial killer that'll be written. He's like, but also,
chomp.
I want your blood. You know, because he's like, you got blood. I want blood. You know, yeah, he bites him and he's like, that ain't blood.
Oh, I've tasted a lot of blood and that ain't blood or whatever. Just whatever. Like he's a bad dog or something. He's just chomping on him. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
This is pretty ridiculous.
And just one little tiny chomp is enough to create carnage.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe I don't know. How much goo do you need?
It wasn't a lot of goo. Is there a ratio of goo? I think you could have minimal goo.
Mm.
So, like, if you kind of like drop a speck of it, you know, like you become a carnage, you know, or a venom.
Well, then you'd think somebody, if serial killer man can figure that out again, why aren't we?
How come people aren't running around with straws trying to drink this goo?
Why aren't we weaponizing this? Goo. Because wouldn't it be much more efficient to sprinkle goo on a bunch of soldiers and have them become venoms?
Sprinkle goo.
I'm just saying, like
blow it on them like they're getting in the spray tan.
For once, we have an actual useful military application of this technology or alien being, and no one's using it. And then they just make excuses to use stupid technology or beings.
That probably was addressed in the first movie. I just can't remember it. Because the only thing I remember from the first movie is Jenny, what's her fucking name?
Yeah.
Jenny Slate being like symbiote.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was something about a lab there.
Yeah, it was a lab with like Riz Ahmed and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
because he became like one of the other Venoms.
That's right, but he didn't become. Oh, that's right. And then there was that.
And then there was a teaser at the end.
Absolutely unintelligible glop scene at the end where they fight each other in the dark on like a tower or something.
That's where we always fight.
Trying to get into a spaceship, if I recall correctly.
Yes. They're going to go in space.
I remember this
but
now.
But then at the end, and then they had the trailer with, or the thing at the end with Wesley, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, but in the end, wasn't it he was in the lab?
Yeah.
And now he's just biting people.
No, he wasn't. He was in jail.
I thought they had brought him to the lab.
No, he was in jail, and like he must have read something, and he was like, "I will truly be wearing this wig," which they've dialed back the wig.
They did. I don't remember the.
He had
wig.
Like a Ronald McDonald wig in that that post credit scene, but now he just kind of has like a, you know, like a regular coif.
Yeah, I really have no recollection of that scene because I thought he was being brought to the lab and they were experimenting on prisoners. But I don't.
No, I don't think. I don't remember. I think he was just in prison and he heard about it. That's probably why he was like, hey, come on over.
I feel like the only after credit scenes I really remember are obviously the one we just saw because in Shang-Chi, because I just saw it. Uh-huh. But the one I really remember is the one at the end of Shazam where they're in jail and Mr. Mind is there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That is the one I remember.
That's right. But that's the thing. We're supposed to have a fucking worm.
Yeah, we're supposed to have
a worm. Is
that
worm going to show up in Black Adam? Is The Rock hanging out with the worm?
I mean, it's Mr. Mind. He was at the end there.
Does the worm have a certain amount of punches he can throw compared to Dwayne Johnson?
I don't think wasn't he a telepath? Isn't that Mr. Mind?
Yeah, he's just a little worm.
Yeah, he's a little worm, but he's very powerful telepath. I was like, oh, shit, it's Mr. Mind.
My old boss, Roddy, who I used to work with at Sideshow, he for my birthday one year, he bought me a Mr. Mind t-shirt.
I know.
Which is a very obscure shirt.
Yes.
I don't think I have it anymore, but he did buy it for me. So yeah, I remember
he used to wear it.
Yeah, he used to wear it. Mm-hmm. It's a green shirt.
Yeah.
So, Venom looks dumb.
It really does look dumb.
I'm gonna see where we're headed with this. Like, if we're teasing more shit, you know, I mean, what are we doing? Are we bringing in, Punisher or something?
So, Venom is
Sony.
He is Sony. That's what I thought.
That's why he can't hang out with Spidar Man.
I see. So we're gonna have to hang out with other people. Maybe, but can you even bring in the Punisher anymore?
Well, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, no. I'm just saying because he had his own TV show in the Marvel Universe.
Who knows?
I don't know if you can.
He's off limits.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Venom. Sorry.
That's right. Eminem singing a Venom song.
God damn it. It's going to be really dumb. I mean, I'm going to see it, but I'm gonna think
we didn't see the, we didn't see the first one in theaters though.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, we watched it at home.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, I could have sworn we saw it in theaters.
I think we skipped that one, and we just and it was like available. Yeah, we we skipped it.
Did
which,
we?
Which is rare for us.
That's why it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, no, we skipped it because I don't remember. I would remember seeing it in the theater, but I think we waited till we watched because we watched it upstairs. In the old living room.
Are you sure we didn't watch it again because We Hate Movies talked about it? I thought we saw it in the theater.
Yeah, actually, you know what? You might be right.
I think I am. Because I'm almost positive we saw it in the theater because I remember just sitting there being like, I can't see anything.
That's true. I could see you saying that.
Yeah.
What was the other trailer we just watched? Was it Last Night in Soho?
Last Night in Soho, which until this new trailer came out, I thought was about New York. it is not. It is about London in the 60s and then also the today. I'm actually really psyched for it.
Was it an Edgar Wright film?
It's an Edgar Wright film. It's got, what's her name? That the
Anna Joy Taylor.
Yeah, the one I should look like.
Or Anna Taylor Joy, whatever. Whatever. Her name is.
The girl who looks like I should, but I don't. her.
She
and
played
then,
magic in New Mutants.
Yes.
For Ileana.
And then she was also in the chess.
The chess lady.
Yeah.
Or the whatever. What the hell is that movie called? A show called?
I don't. Queen's Gambit?
Queen's Gambit.
She was in that.
The chess lady.
The chess lady.
Chess lady.
how soon we forget.
This is what the quarantine has done to
I'm
me.
I'm trying to think of who else is in that movie. What's his face with the weird face?
What? You talk about New Mutants?
No, the guy who plays like the young guy.
I didn't recognize anybody else in that movie.
I recognized him and I don't remember from what. He's in like a Harry Potter or something.
Oh,
I can't remember what his name is. But so, I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Basically what it's...
He's got like a square head.
What happens is the girl, whoever the girl is, in present day, goes to sleep one night and wakes up in this alternate...
No, time. She wakes up in the past.
She wakes up in the past in the body of Anna Joy Taylor.
Yeah, and like lives her life in the 60s, but it turns out like nefarious things have happened and I guess she gets murdered.
Or does she murder? Wait, she gets murdered?
No, Anna Taylor Joy does.
Taylor Joy, okay.
Or we think she does. I don't know if she's actually dead, but there's like a knife and some blood and
yeah, because it turns out it's like it's all like hip mod,
yeah,
1960s stuff, and then it gets real dark all of a sudden.
And then it gets really, really dark. You know, it
Anna Taylor Joy. That's what
Anna Taylor Joy. It just really reminds me when I was a kid, there was a young adult book. Now there were always young adult books, right? So a lot of them were Christopher Pike novels that were supposed to be all scary, like. Stephen King for kids, basically.
For a little kid.
Yeah. R.L. Stine books. There was also this whole series by Lurleen McDaniel, which was just basically about everybody having cancer and dying. Like everybody died in those books. Uh-huh. But I did have this one book and it was called Charlotte Sometimes. And it was about a girl in England who I think in the 70s, I don't remember exactly what date, she goes to boarding school. Some English boarding school, right? And she gets assigned a bed in a room. And this specific bed has these like weird little wheels on it that look different than everybody else's because it's like really old. And when she goes to bed, she wakes up in the morning in like 1946. Uh-huh. So she is switching places with the girl in the night in 1946 who's sleeping in the bed at the same time. So they just, every time they go to bed, one wakes up in the other bed, so they just keep switching places.
Yeah,
and so they have to leave each other notes in.
Oh, it's like that movie, The Lake House.
Yeah, and they have to leave each other notes in the actual like the part of the bed comes off, and they hide notes to tell the other one what happened. Mm. So when you won't be like, "Hey, so and so talked to you, and you said this, and you have no recollection." But then something happens where like the bed gets switched, and what's her face, Charlotte. Ends up stuck in 1940 and the other girl is stuck in like modern time or whatever. So that's what that reminds me of. Every single time I see this trailer, I think of this book. Was it written after reading the book? I have no idea. I don't think anybody but me ever read that book.
Can I kind of go to bed and switch bodies with Chris Cornell in 1990?
Oh, dude, that'd be sweet.
That'd
right?
be great. And then somehow Chris
Cornell... Would you be high all the time? Like, I don't
know. No, I'd just be beautiful.
Yeah, Chris Cornell was really
just
beautiful.
Just be a beautiful, beautiful singer.
Dude, I would switch bodies with Chris Cornell in 1990. Like, first
we
off...
We should both do it, and then we both... And then Chris Cornell somehow would be... Two Chris Cornells would be stuck here.
They'd be so bad.
Chris Cornells would be stuck here. And,
it would be like in Dragon Ball Z when, like, Goku and Vegeta do, like, the merging dance. It has a name that...
The fusion?
The fusion dance, and they become one. That would just be us becoming one Chris Cornell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a really big Chris Cornell.
Maybe we have to do a fusion dance.
Before. He'd be 7 feet. We just have combine to our heights
because what's his face, Cesaro and Sheamus used to do it.
Oh yeah, yeah. The pose.
Dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the fusion dance. But if we do the fusion dance and then go to bed, maybe we will wake up as 1990 Chris Cornell.
I'm not a very good dancer, though.
You don't really have to dance. It's more just like weird things, and then you do the hand, the fingers pointing together.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Sounds good.
Yeah. If we do that, we could become Chris Cornell.
Sounds good.
In 1990, and he'll be stuck here. Ha ha. Serves you right. Chris Cornell, I don't know why I'm mad at you. So.
I just want you to be alive. I wish you were alive.
I do wish Chris Cornell was still alive.
There was a point where I remember, like, there was like a Soundgarden reunion going on, and they were touring.
Oh.
And like, I never got around to seeing it. They played like it was like when we first got here, when we first got to LA and we were poor.
Oh yeah.
So it was like great things happening.
I was gonna say we couldn't have done anything back then.
What's the thing about LA?
Very broke.
To be honest, that's the thing about LA in general is like you want to do. I mean, at least for me, like I want to spend my money on something, but then like I look at. But then you actually look at how much it costs.
Right.
And you go, and then you don't.
Yeah.
And you never do anything.
Well, when we first got to LA, we weren't even doing that. We were just like, how are we paying rent?
That was difficult, yes.
And then we figured it out. We got lucky. But there were a couple months there that were not great when we lived in LA. Uh-huh. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that movie.
Yeah, I'll check it out. You know, I was actually thinking about this. Like, even though things are different than from last year, like, I feel like we don't have as many movies.
Right. Probably because, I mean, things had to shut down. But it's also weird because, like, there's all these movies that were supposed to come out. That all got delayed. So
Bond is coming out in the fall.
Bond is coming out, which every time I see it, I'm like, what am I even looking at? Because they're like, Bond, you are in love with this girl. And every time I see her, I'm like, his daughter? ? No. It's apparently his love interest who is literally 48 years younger than he is.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's like she's a fucking baby.
Yeah, and I can't buy it. I'm sorry. You can't be like, they have history together. I'm like, how? She just graduated high school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not a thing I'm interested in. But, so Bond got pushed back, but then there's also that unbearable weight of massive talent or whatever, that Pedro Pascal Nick Cage movie.
Oh, okay.
That's been done for a very long time since like
release it.
It was in post-production and when COVID hit or no, they might've been finishing it when COVID hit, but it's been done since like April of 2020.
Yeah.
So we're like, but it's not coming out till 2022.
I don't know. Well,
it doesn't take that long to edit it.
Yeah. But it's all about like timing.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like they have all this stuff. And so they're putting it on hold because they're still waiting for the pandemic to go away, which guess what? It's never gonna. So there's like that. And then there's like a bunch of other shit that was supposed to come out that just never did.
Well, there's like a West Side Story remake is coming out.
Yes.
And then there's that one where the moon comes.
Oh, that's right. The moon comes to take us out because
Moonfall.
You want to know why? Because the moon's sick of watching our shit. It's sitting there and it's like, no more. And it comes to us and we deserve it. I root for the moon.
Is that what we should be called? We deserve this. Just the moon just fucking. How does somebody like in that movie, like, because obviously somebody has to save somebody, or does it? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. How does the moon get knocked out of orbit?
Does somebody just push it back? that just stands on top of a high building and goes, eh.
No, I think we're dead. If the moon ever gets knocked out of orbit like that, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
You can't fuck with orbits, man.
No, you can't fuck with the moon.
You can't fuck with the moon.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it controls the tide. If it, like, wanders off into space, what happened? Did oceans stagnate? I don't even know. I don't even know what happens if we don't have the moon. So, yeah, I assume.
The moon just pieces out.
You know what?
I'm gonna go over to Saturn where they got a bunch of rocks, a bunch of cool moons and that
thing.
They got
way more moons over there. Also, the moon would be right to do so.
The moon just drops like a, shoots off like a big rock and shapes a middle finger.
Yeah. And I'd be like, you know what, moon? You're right.
The moon is right. So you're always making fun of me. You're all thinking about blowing me up and shit.
How many movies have you blown me up?
You put Transformers on me and shit. I had the Transformers hanging out of me. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I didn't want Transformers, especially Michael Bay Transformers, but Jesus Christ, here they are.
You know, like, oh, you think you give me the cool Transformers from the 80s?
Nope.
It's like, no, I got these fucking weird-ass Decepticon-looking motherfuckers that look like a bunch of sinewy robot parts.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't want any of this. Here I am just hanging out, being the moon. You guys have to fuck it up.
I enjoy this moon inner monologue. Just this bitter moon.
It's a very angry moon, and I can't really blame it.
How is that? Actually, bitter moon would be a great title for a typo negative song.
Yes, or a very, very literary fiction novel. Bitter moon.
Bitter moon.
Yeah. That gets made into a movie and gets butchered because the actual novel would never translate.
No, because there's probably like way too much sex in it or something.
Way too much sex, and it probably has like way too much like reflection on like being human, and it's just too boring. So that gets cut out.
Well, that's actually what Moonfall is supposed to be. It's an adaptation of the Bitter Moon.
Yes, it's a rumination on being human. Yeah.
Moon wobble.
Moon, yeah. It's supposed to wobble. I don't know. It's gonna.
That's what the word on the street is.
Yep. So, yeah.
About 10 years.
Well, we'll all be dead by then, so.
Sweet. All right. Well, we've been bullshitting for a minute here. Let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about Shang-Chi.
Shang.
Hey, folks. This is Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist and semi-regular co-host of the Longbox Crusade podcast with Pat Sampson. Pat came to me recently with a fantastic idea on how we might get the podcast community involved in taking some action to do some good. He called this idea Comics for Courage. Comics for Courage is a concept that came to Pat after I told him the fantastic true story of when I was stationed in Iraq during my military service. While there, I received a huge care package of comic books from the awesome folks over at Wizard and Toy Fair magazines. We had so many comics, we didn't know what to do with them all. Seriously, it was over 100 pounds of comics. So me and a couple of buddies took the bounty of comics we had down to the Give and Take library we'd set up in our headquarters building. And you know what? Within 24 hours, all the comics were gone. The bottom line here is that throughout history, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, one thing remains a constant: soldiers love comics. It's quick, easy, fun reading that gives a soldier a taste of home and lets them escape into an amazing world of comics, even if it's just for a few minutes. So here's the best part of Comics for Courage. Pat and I aren't asking you to donate 1 cent of your money to Comics for Courage. What we would love is for you to donate your excess comics. You know, those ones that are just kind of laying around. Just drop them into a box or a big envelope and mail them over to supportourtroops.org. Their mailing address is Support Our Troops, 13617 North Florida Avenue, Tampa, Florida, 33613. Now, they will make sure those comics get distributed to random soldier care packages, and as a person who's been on the receiving end of this, I can tell you it will mean a lot. And if you'd rather donate money than give up a single comic book, trust me, we understand about that, you can donate through their website as well. Again, that's supportourtroops.org. Just remember two things, all right? Two things. One, make sure the comics have good, clean content. No nudity or adults-only comics, please. Those are the rules for any military member receiving goods downrange. Okay, and number two, This is the fun one. Please take a picture of you with your donation stack and post it on Twitter or Facebook at Longbox Crusade, or email it to contact@longboxcrusade.com. We'd love to give you an on-air shout-out and post your pic on the longboxcrusade.com website. In summary, Pat and I over at Longbox Crusade Podcast would greatly appreciate you taking this small action to make a difference in the life of someone who is far from home defending our freedoms. Thank you for supporting a Comics for Courage initiative. That website again is supportourtroops.org. Please check it out. Throw them some comics. Make some soldiers happy. We appreciate it. Thanks again.
We're whalers on the moon. We carry a harpoon. I don't remember the rest.
Welcome back.
It's from Futurama.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Welcome back here on Worst Collection Ever. We don't have a book for this week, but we're talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I had to make sure I get the title right.
Oh, yes. Right. Very important.
Because it's not just, it's just like, hey, give me Shang-Chi. It's like, it's an actual title.
That's right. It has like words.
Who did the director? His name is Destin Daniel Cretton. And like,
what's he done?
He is best known for his movies Short Term 12, The Glass Castle, and Just a Mercy.
I'm not familiar with either one of those.
Just a Mercy, isn't that? That's the one with Michael B. Jordan or something. He's like a defense lawyer or something.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. I never saw it.
Yeah. But.
Cool.
So I guess, you know, it's a weird selection to be like, hey, you want to direct this CGI movie? Glop? I was going to say glop, but there's not a lot of glop.
There definitely is, but it's not as bad as it could be. I mean, maybe, because they also tapped, what's her name, Chloe Zhao?
That's right, Chloe Zhao. And she was like, what, that Nomadland?
Yeah. Yeah, she did that, and then I think it was Nomadland. I'm almost positive it was. But she did that, and now they tapped her to do Eternals, which is pretty cool. I mean, just first impressions of the movie, I enjoyed it. I thought it was probably one of the better Marvel movies that I've seen in a while. I mean, I think it was better than, I think, Black Widow.
Oh, by far.
I liked it better than Falcon Winter Soldier, just thinking about Marvel properties I've seen recently. So I liked it better than that, because I feel like Falcon Winter Soldier was just a movie that was stretched into TV episodes. I wouldn't say the same thing about WandaVision, but Falcon Winter Soldier, I really feel, just should have been a movie.
Yeah, it was an extended movie with a lot of bloated parts to it.
Yeah. Some really cool fight scenes. I really liked that one on the bus. Yeah. That fight scene, I thought that was really, really cool. And I also liked that the way they did his origin. I liked that we didn't start with him as a little kid and go through the whole thing and then meet his friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that like, was, they jumped I thought right
that
into
was,
it.
I liked that. I thought that was really a very interesting way for them to go, and it made the movie more interesting.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So we come to find out that he was like a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And his father. Now, mind you guys, spoilers.
Yeah, of course. Spoilers for the whole thing.
Spoilers for all this stuff. So just heads up.
Yeah.
So his father sends him on a mission to go kill the people that killed his mother.
Yeah, what else are you going to do with your time? Sure, yeah.
You know, he's like, go kill. And he's like,
please murder.
Please murder. And then, you know, at first he's like, I didn't do it, man. Nah, man. But then he's like, and please. But that's a weird part where he's like,
Remember that time
I told you I didn't kill? I did.
I mean, I could see that you don't want to tell your friend that when you were some brainwashed child assassin that you actually murdered someone, and now that you're
I thought that was implied, you know, to be
I
like
thought it was too, but he's like, oh, I didn't do it, because he doesn't want to admit to it, because he knows it's shitty and terrible.
But those people had it coming.
I mean, sure, yeah, they're terrible bad people, we know, but okay, if you're sitting here now and you're like, by the way, I was a child assassin and I murdered, would you want to tell me that you murdered?
I think it would be implied because I'm an assassin.
No,
I wouldn't really be an assassin if I didn't do any killing.
No, but you could be like, I didn't do it, and I didn't go home because I knew my father wouldn't be cool with it, which is the reason he gives for not going back. And that makes sense. And then he was like, Well, I did it, but I just didn't want to go back, so I didn't.
So okay, but here's
I think that's the question: is why didn't he go back if he murdered?
But so does he like find a like a they have like foster parents or something?
I don't know.
Because all
know.
Of a sudden he's like,
why it was good that we didn't actually dwell on it. Because how the fuck did this kid with no money, assuming unless he stole from the dude he murdered, like set up shop in San Francisco and start just randomly going to school?
Randomly going to a school, like he enrolled in school and everything, and was there for like a number of years, you know, and actually developed a relationship with Awkwafina.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, because they became friends.
Yeah.
Like, how did that, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, where did that come from?
That's a really good question of how all that worked. I think the answer is Marvel. And that's what you get. It's because Marvel.
Trevor Slattery and Morris were his parents.
Oh, I love Morris. You lived with them, and
it was a wacky situation.
I really loved Morris.
So, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. But, you know, so basically, we start off with like a little bit of backstory. You know, we start off with the backstory about like.
His dad, who is played by
Tony Leung,
who is a fantastic actor.
Was he?
He's apparently like a big deal in Chinese cinema. Like he's like fantastic and he is a very good actor. I really appreciated being able to see him do his thing. Cause I thought he was really good. But apparently he's like a legend. So he plays a guy who way back in the day, cause he's like thousands of years old. He finds these rings. It's never explained how, cause they say, some people say he found them. Some people said he stole them. Regardless, he has these rings that control and manipulate energy, and they give him eternal life and the ability to just beat the fuck out of everybody. So what he does with that is what most people would do with that is amass an army and steal a bunch of shit and become very rich.
Uh-huh.
I do not believe these are his only children, because if you live that long, you're fucking.
Yeah,
all
you're,
the time.
You're fucking in all the periods.
All of the periods, and there's no birth control in most of them. So you know these are not his only children.
Yeah, but no, the impression is that he waited for...
He waited until 1996.
Centuries.
He waited until 1996.
He waited until 1996 to nut for the first time.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that episode of Batman the Animated Series that takes place in the Old West.
Okay.
With Jonah Hex, where Ra's al Ghul is involved or something because there's this like bad dude. And then at the very end, Ra's is there and the bad dude is in a wheelchair and Batman's like, oh my God, that guy's what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, detective, you can't think that in all my life I've only sired one child. Like this old dude in the wheelchair is Ra's child. Mm. So anyway,
meet my son.
My son,
old guy in a wheelchair.
I forget what his whole, he was just a bad guy. Don't remember what else he was doing.
So yeah. So he's got, so it was okay. So, he's got these rings.
Mm-hmm.
They act as like whips and like they're kind of like
they're bracelets
that act like the like these energy whips. They're super destructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like what's his face, Polka Dot Man. Like he's got these super destructive like weapons and don't really, you know.
Also like Whiplash.
Whiplash
because he's got like those things on his arms that in the energy coming out of them. But he can also like throw them and control them when he doesn't have to be touching them.
Yeah.
And then they just come back to him or whatever. But basically they give him a whole shit ton of power that allows him to amass wealth and kill a whole bunch of people.
And so he waits. He's in charge of, you know, his army and.
And then in 1996, he's like, I'm bored because I have done all of the things because I've been alive for a billion years. So I have heard of this place called. Oh, what's it called?
I'm looking at
Tone Lau. I can't remember.
Tone Loke?
No, it's not Tone Loke. He did not hear of the rapper.
Tao Lo.
Tao Lo. And I couldn't remember what it was called. It just left my head. And he's like,
it's the village where everybody talks like this.
Yeah. It's a rapper village. It's just populated by rappers.
Come to our temple where we worship Funky Cold Medina.
This is old rap though. It's like old school rap.
Old school hip hop.
Yeah. Kanye West does not have a summer place here. neither does Drake. So he's like, I want to go to this place and I think I figured out where it is. Now, at first you don't know that this is like a mystical place, but you're kind of cued in pretty early because he's like, all right, everybody to the entrance. And they're like going through and the forest is like closing in on them.
Forest like eats them.
It moves. So they, this is very funny because so it like basically pushes him off a cliff and he uses his like bracelet to knock out a door and not die, but he's the only one who doesn't die. It was very funny. I thought all the other guys die.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to live.
Yeah. And I'm assuming because he's immortal, he would have lived anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, he would just go to crack. It would have hurt really bad.
Yeah. And so then he like wanders for some reason that it doesn't eat him when he's walking through it.
Yeah, I feel like the forest only dislikes cars.
It really hates cars. It just has a bias against cars.
Yeah, but if you're walking through, it's like, oh, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, it's fine. No problem. Come on through.
He eventually finds his way, and he runs into Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, to like the gate, and then she's there.
And she's there.
And they do like a basic. I mean, we've talked a lot on the show about fight fucking, but this is basically fight fucking.
It basically, yeah. Yeah. She's like,
maybe fight making love because it's a lot sweeter than.
It's more like fight flirting.
Fight flirting. Yeah, yeah. Not fucking yet.
Yeah. We're not bat cat fight fucking.
Yeah.
Here.
No one's fucking on a roof here, which is unfortunate. Everybody should. But so he's like, oh, I like this girl because she like bested me and she likes him. And they start having picnics. And so then like,
so does he just like hang out outside of this thing and she won't let him into the
yeah
place?
But I don't think he really wants to go in anymore. He just wants to hang out with her. So he hangs out with her. They have a bunch of picnics. And eventually she leaves her village to go with him because I guess they said, hey, can he come live with us? And they were like, fuck that guy. No. So she's like, all right, I'm leaving my village so I can go be with him and like have his babies or whatever. So that's what happens.
Yeah. So she has a baby.
Yeah.
And it's
a very cute little baby.
Yeah. He had like a rocking hairdo.
Yeah. You know how babies have that like baby chick fuzz?
Yeah.
He was very cute. He was very cute. I was like, look at his baby chick hair.
So yeah, he had
babies from a distance. So just like, look how cute.
So he had they have Shang-Chi.
Yeah, and then his sister.
And then they have a sister. And so we're kind of jumping around here.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going from like the beginning because it's easier, I guess, chronologically, because then like the mother gets murdered. Because the dad has put away the rings. He's like, I'm gonna grow old and play Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, right.
Because they do. And then like he like goes to the store or something. And
he comes back with a baguette.
He comes back with a baguette and his wife is dead because
he's like,
somebody he tried to murder a long time ago has finally come for revenge.
Hello Fresh didn't give us enough peanut sauce.
so I had to go to the
buy
store.
Some more so we can finish making this stupid meal that's only half assed. And I come back and my wife is dead.
And she's dead. And so then he's like, that's right. I have basically phenomenal cosmic power. Time to start murdering. And so he takes Shang-Chi into like a pool hall where he's like, hey, want to watch your dad murder? And Shang-Chi's like, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe there's some video games there. He could be like, hey, why don't you here's some quarters.
Right.
Go play Street Fighter.
No, murder, please.
I'm going to go murder these people with my sweet bracelets.
With my sweet bracelets and my really cool fashion sense. Because he's got that like sport coat, but like the sleeves are rolled up so you can see his cool bracelets.
Oh, right.
As they're like, I'm like, that looks cool.
I didn't really notice him looking as.
Yeah, yeah, he was looking cool. I was like, that's a sweet outfit. So then they're like, okay, time to train up my army. Punch this stick for a long time.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah, Shang-Chi. And become an assassin. So he does. Then he leaves his sister.
Well, meanwhile, his sister is like learning from like watching them.
Yeah, because since she's a girl, she can't train with the boys, so she just watches and gets better. And
somehow she becomes really good.
Yeah.
Without actually,
without sparring with anybody.
Without sparring or, you know, she's just kind of swinging around and.
Yeah, she's got. I don't know what that thing is called. There's a name for it with the like the blade on the end of a big long rope.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
It's pretty sweet.
It is sweet. So he's like, hey, sister, I'll be back in 3 days. I got to go murder. And then he never comes back. And that's when we end up in San Francisco, where he and Awkwafina are valets.
Yeah.
And I really thought that guy's whose car they stole at the beginning.
Yeah.
I swear I was like, oh, that guy's going to be like the rival family. No, that was just a dude. And I was like, oh,
yeah. Just a rich dude.
Just a rich dude.
So they go joyriding or whatever, and wait, this doesn't have anything to do with anything.
It doesn't. They go joyriding and like talk to her parents or her grandma and her mom, and they're like, "When are you gonna get married?" He's like, "Never. Thanks for the food." And then this is when they go
on the bus,
and this is where we find out that Sean, as he calls himself, or Shang Chi, is a kick-ass martial artist who's got a guy coming after him. What is that guy's name with the cannon arm?
You know, I'm trying to figure this out because
I didn't know what his name was when I saw him. And I was like, am I supposed to know who this is? I did not.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, does he have a...
Is he a guy?
You know, I thought he was a guy, but he's not. Maybe he isn't a guy. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Could be a guy.
Razor Fist.
Razor Fist. Okay, there you go.
Razor Fist, you know, who I thought there is a guy named Slice that Wonder Man would fight.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very bad at remembering guys.
Is he created just for this movie?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anything about him.
Interesting.
That's why I was like, is he a guy? I don't know.
Am I a guy?
He was the guy.
He's the guy with a sword for a hand.
Yeah.
So they started having a big bus fight or whatever.
Because they want the pendant that Shang-Chi has around his neck, which apparently shows where the entrance to Tao Lo is.
Okay, yes.
So.
And his sister has one too.
Yes.
So, and the thing is, when you put those pendants in the eyes of a dragon.
That his dad has. Stone dragon.
Somehow his dad has that.
Sure.
And maybe it's just a thing that
I'm assuming
it's like a pendant reader.
Yeah, I think he has during his years of murdering and pillaging, he probably just amassed all that stuff. So he's probably had it for a long time, and he's like, "Oh, finally, I got to use this thing."
Yeah, he's like, "Finally, I've been sticking, you know, rubies in this. I've been sticking VCR tapes in it.
Nothing.
You know, not a damn thing.
Not even Betamax." Not even Betamax.
Yeah, so he finally gets a chance to use this, and they try to get these pendants, and so Shang-Chi's like, all right, well,
he's like, oh, by the way, Awkwafina, so like, I'm an assassin. I have a sister. I know I never told you about her. My dad is the head of like an immortal war force, and my mom is some sort of mystical being from another dimension. I have to go to Macau and find my sister because she sent me this postcard. And Awkwafina's like, well, I guess I'm coming because I should. I don't really understand why she would go because she's just in the way. But okay, sure.
She's bored, you know?
She's bored. So they go to Macau, and this is where they find basically a fight club where a great cameo takes place. We have Wong from Doctor Strange, who is apparently a great fighter, and he's fighting Abomination.
Yeah.
He's like moonlighting, and also like he apparently hangs out with Abomination all the time
because
they
leave buddies.
Together.
They're buddies. They team up together to throw fights.
Yeah.
So they're kind of doing like this carny
betting
thing
on themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Wong's got a lot going on apparently in his spare time. When he's not running away from Doctor Strange and whatever trailer that was for Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
I
do like Wong.
I like Wong a lot. I think Wong deserves his own movie. about what? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I don't care. Figure it out.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, hey, Shang-Chi, you were the dude on the bus kicking all that ass. You are now in a fight and you're going to fight the next opponent. And that just happens to be his sister. So she beats the fuck out of him, which is great. And then she's like, yeah, since dad wouldn't give me my own empire, I built my own. Also, I hate you because you left me for like a long ass time and it sucked and I was stuck with dad, but now I'm not. And oh, by the way, here come members of the Ten Rings because they want my pendant.
Yeah.
So then we got a lot of fights like on the side of an office building that's all covered in scaffolding. And then they get captured basically and taken to wherever the fuck their dad lives in a fortress. And that, and then we have all that like backstory, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. And then eventually they get thrown into the dungeon and that's where we meet, what's his face?
Trevor Slattery.
Yeah. Or Ben Kingsley from The Mandarin. Who was the Mandarin?
That's like a randomness.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Because it's tying stuff in together, and he's probably going to play another role in like the future Phase 4 or whatever the fuck it is.
He has to. You can't like hire Ben Kingsley and then have him like sit around for two scenes, which is basically what they did in Iron Man 3. And so I guess he's been held hostage because his dad's pissed off that he had portrayed such a racist such a racist caricature of the Mandarin, who is based on Shang-Chi's father. And then this is where we meet Morris, who's my favorite new character, who is just a ball of fur with legs. He has no face. He has no eyeballs. He's just a little ball of fur with wings on him, and he squeaks. And I don't know how. He has no mouth. How does he eat?
I don't know. Like, he doesn't.
I realize there's
a hole on the bottom that we don't see.
Maybe he just absorbs things.
Yeah, maybe he has like special like a way of absorbing nutrients through his fur.
He's really cute.
He is really cute.
He's very cute. I guess because he's an interdimensional being, he doesn't need to make sense. So they're like, okay, we got to get to Tao Lo because dad's going to like fuck it up and burn it to the ground because he believes mom's being held behind a gate, even though she's totally dead. So, but Morris will show us the way. So let's sit here in this BMW and just wait for the forest to not eat us or something.
No, they're waiting for the right opening.
I know they are. It's just very dumb because they just sit there. Morris is like, turn left. And of course, well, no, Ben Kingsley translates.
This is where we get this moment where Ben Kingsley's like talking
to
everybody. And he's like talking about why he wanted to become an actor. And he's like, he's like, when I was a boy, I saw Planet of the Apes.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was real. Ha ha ha. And I was like, motherfucker, you expect me to believe that Ben Kingsley was a boy?
How old is Ben Kingsley?
He was definitely not a boy in 1968.
Let's find out. How old is Ben Kingsley? Oh, no. Ben Kingsley was born December 31st, 1943.
Uh-huh. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, he was in his story. Though it was very funny because he was like, oh, no, the monkeys were just acting like they were riding horses. Like he actually believes that they were monkeys instead of people in suits. So he's like, yeah, I wanted to be an actor ever since then. He's like, oh, now we can drive through this forest. So we get this whole scene of them driving through the forest. Then we go to the village, which is all like magical and mystical. And basically nothing really matters until the invasion where the dad shows up. And he's like, okay, time to open the thing, even though the mom's not actually there. It's a soul eater.
Soul eater.
It eats souls.
It's a dragon. Yeah. Some dragon that eats souls.
Yeah. It's a soul eater. So basically it gets free. It starts eating souls. The, when you see the souls, that's kind of cool. Cause they're like rainbowy balls.
Yeah.
That was neat. And then there's like just like a bunch of fighting and whatever. There was one part there at the end where it just becomes CGI glop to me when we have like Shang-Chi, who's like best as dad, like running on the backs of two dragons or something. I'm just like, I have literal no idea what's going on right now. No clue. He's like jumping from dragon to dragon. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever you say, movie, because I cannot tell what's happening. They fight the dragon. They win. Shang-Chi has the bracelets because his dad's dead. And the end. That's the end of the movie.
So that's the movie.
I felt like I just...
Actually fell asleep.
Sean did fall asleep.
Watching this movie.
Was it the dragon part?
Yes. Which is the most like exciting action part.
I mean, I actually thought it was more exciting to see what they were doing on the bus.
The bus one was actually that was a great sequence.
It was such
There's some really good fighting in this movie.
Yeah, that honestly, I felt like the bus sequence was way more exciting because like I said, like once you get to those two dragons going, you know, flying through the air and flying at each other, and then Shang-Chi is on one, and then his sister's on one, and then they're shooting rings, and it becomes CGI glop, like it just all of these movies do at the end. And then that, to me, until the very end where he's, like, falling, Shang-Chi's, like, falling through the air while the rings are inside the dragon, that's when I picked up back up what was happening. Because there was, like, a good solid 4 minutes where I was like, oh. And I didn't find it very interesting, so.
Also, we have this thing, too, where Katie, Awkwafina, like, learns how to shoot an arrow, and she becomes, like, the best arrow person.
Yeah, best archer ever.
Best archer ever, you know, and she helps shoot a dragon sort of in the neck.
Yeah.
And even though, like, the dude that teaches her, like, I kind of enjoy, like, this guy being like, come on, let's go fight this dragon. And it is, the instructor.
It's like, nope.
And then he just gets soul-eated.
Yeah, but he was also like, because she's like, okay, I'm going to help. He's like, nope. And she's like, no, really, I'm going to help. He's like, nope. And then finally, he's just like, just don't die. Like, he just like gives in. I did actually really like the part because Shang-Chi's dad comes and her teacher, Awkwafina's teacher, the arrow guy, is like this old man, probably in his like late 60s, right? And Shang-Chi's dad's like, listen here, young man. I thought that was funny.
I missed that.
I thought you probably fell asleep. I thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah, I was out. Shang-Chi, good movie to sleep to.
I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I know Sean slept through it, but I had a good time.
I slept through part of the fights.
Yeah.
But no, I liked it. I liked it. I mean, I liked the, you know, the inclusion of some of the other parts of the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. The MCU with Mandarin or whatever.
Yeah, now we're getting into the multiverse part of it.
Yeah.
Which I have always associated more with DC, just probably because I read more DC.
Marvel, I always, this is kind of separated Marvel from having like lots of universes.
I did too. But it turns out they had lots of universes. Yeah, I always look at it as a DC thing because DC was, ever since the beginning, very, very open about like, this happens on Earth 2 and this happens on Earth 1 and this, you know what I mean? Like we're, at least for me, because I haven't read as much Marvel, I didn't realize they had all the, I know they have 616 and then you have the Ultimate Universe, but I didn't really.
But then there's like all these other ones that I'm like, okay, I didn't realize we were dealing with that here, but apparently we are. There's also some post-credit sequences.
Yep.
We have one, the mid-credit sequence where Shang-Chi like meets up with, and then Katie meets up with Wong.
Yeah, they're at a bar talking about all the shit that happened.
And they're telling these like some friends they have, and their friends are kind of like, hey, you guys should like become like more mature. And they're like, fuck that.
Like, we saved the world. But then Wong shows up like at the bar, like walks through one of those magic circle things.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, Shang-Chi. And he's like, yeah, I'm here. He's like, come on. So
I like when he leaves, he bodies someone their drinks.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it reminds me of that Dave Chappelle bit at the Dave Chappelle's Sam Adams thing where he's like, it's like at the end of the commercial, where he's backing up and he just bites it out of the popcorn.
Yeah.
he's like, bam. See ya.
So they go through, that's like the end of the movie. And then there's a scene where they're like trying to analyze the rings.
Yeah.
So,
and there's some sort of like gimmick in the rings.
Because whatever energy the rings put off, for some reason, only when Shang-Chi was using them, not when his dad's been using them for
thousands of years.
Only when Shang-Chi has been using them, it had like sent out some energy, kind of like the snap that awoke the whatever the fucks.
The deviants.
Again, not when he snapped the first time, but on the way back. So this is kind of the not when his dad used him for 8,000 years, only when Shang-Chi did.
Right.
Did we get this like blast of energy that kind of was like, it's a beacon.
Yeah. And so they're talking to Captain Marvel.
Yes.
And
holograms.
Holograms. And they're talking to Bruce Banner, who for some reason has his arm in a sling.
Yes. And I'm like, trying to remember the last time we saw Bruce Banner.
It's like, so has he had a broken arm for like, I don't remember.
Was it Avengers?
Well, yeah, it would have been Infinity War, but I don't remember him having a broken arm.
He definitely didn't have a broken arm at the end of the funeral.
Yeah, because then like he turned to Hulk and throw like a bench because he was pissed off because Black Widow died.
Yeah, but he didn't break his arm.
Yeah, I don't remember him breaking his arm.
So I'm like, why does he have a broken arm?
Maybe he fell down. Fell down in the shower or something.
And Captain Marvel's like, oh, I got to go do a thing. And I'm like, what?
She's like, well, I got to take this.
I go, yeah, somebody's paging me.
He's like, I want to know.
What's going on? Why does Bruce have a broken arm? Nobody has Captain Marvel's cell phone number. I don't know what's happening. But apparently we will find out.
At some point.
Sometime.
Assuming that Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I mean, maybe that's what we have to like watch those movies and see how Hulk breaks his arm.
Maybe we should
because be maybe this is supposed to be the future.
What? The future?
Like we're watching this movie today in 2021, but maybe it's set in 2024.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the slate is. I cannot be bothered to look.
I got to watch. I feel like maybe we should be we're going to have to watch like TV shows. Maybe that'll pop up then because it's going to be the Hawkeye series.
I don't want to see the Hawkeye series, but I want to see Loki. Series? I don't want to see that either. I don't care about the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
The S.H.I.E.L.D. series?
She-Hulk.
Oh, I thought it said S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, I don't care about S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s done.
Good. No, She-Hulk I'm here for. Maybe she breaks his arm. Maybe that's why maybe we...
She's shaking his hand. How's it going? Smash.
Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe she was fighting Hulk in that show, and that's why he's got a broken arm. Ooh, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he got caught in the car door. I don't. Yeah. I'm trying to think of creative ways for him to break his arm.
Bruce Banner gets his arm caught in a car door.
somebody holds it out. Some Hydra thugs hold his arm in the car door and they slam it.
I mean, do we know what's going on with what's his face? Did he actually break his arm?
Oh, who, Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Did they just write it in?
I don't know. I'm really concerned about this. I really need to know. I don't care so much where Captain Marvel's going. I'm assuming she's going to do something with
the Kree or
some space motherfuckers.
Yeah.
How did Hulk break his arm?
This is a good question. That's what I'm saying. Did Mark Ruffalo break his arm and they're just going to have to write it
to
in?
To Reddit!
Like they're going to have to write in Mariska Hargitay breaking her foot into SVU because she broke it in like real life.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. What are they going to do? Like, it's like when an actress gets pregnant, what are you going to do? Are you going to hide her behind a couch or is her character going to get pregnant?
Bruce Banner's just behind a couch.
I would love Bruce Banner behind a couch.
They have a hologram. He's just behind a couch. He's like, I'm not pregnant, but my arm is broken.
He's always carrying a basket of laundry. Or a folder of some sort.
He's always carrying a football for some reason. He just goes, I got to stop playing football, guys.
Yeah, he's always looking like he's holding something, so you can't tell his arm's in a sling.
I became a football player, and the Hulk's a football player now.
And I'm just holding my helmet constantly, my helmet. Walking through scenes, holding this helmet.
I play for the Jets. So yeah, that's what's going on in the Marvel Universe.
What was
guys.
The other one? The other scene.
Well, then at the very end, we just get to see his sister being like, "Hey, this is my group
now."
Yeah,
she's like, "This is my fucking empire."
She
now.
Takes over all the fighting people.
I am now in charge of the Ten Rings, and I was like. That's right.
And she's going to have, maybe she'll have a fight club there too.
I was like, you get it, girl. You fucking ruin everything. And I'm very proud.
Yeah, so we'll see how that turns out. Because they did a James Bond kind of thing where it was like the James Bond will return. It's like the Ten Rings will return.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers, you better have liked this.
Maybe that's...
How did it do, the movie?
I think it did well.
Because I haven't really heard anything about like why this movie failed.
No,
or why
I don't think
movie...
it did. I think it did well. Let me look.
I mean, I'm assuming that it's a Marvel movie, so I mean, it should...
Yeah, but everybody's good. Like, oh... Black Widow is sad or something.
Black Widow was sad. It was kind of a bummer, kind of a bullshit movie. I was not impressed.
It's a box office hit.
Sweet.
Yep, box office hit.
Give me a Wong movie now.
So far grossed $146 million worldwide.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Compared to the, you have to figure out how much the budget was, you know?
Oh, I don't know. It's, where is it? How much was the budget?
$40.
This can't be right. What?
What?
No, that says that's a horror movie. Are you kidding? What is this nonsense? I pulled it up. It said $25 million. I was like, fuck you. That's not right.
That was just catering.
Jesus Christ.
That was just the CGI for
Morris.
For Bruce. Yeah, for Morris or for Bruce Brander's arm brace.
$25 million. Fuck you. I don't know what its budget is.
Whatever. It's doing well.
It is doing well.
It's doing well. Hopefully we'll get that sequel. Get to see some more cool shit going on with the sister.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what the origin is for the rings. It must be some sort of cosmic origin. I'm assuming.
Oh, 100%.
Do you think that this could be an Adam Warlock thing? Because doesn't he have some sort of...
No, he's got the gems. He's not a ring guy.
No, but whatever it's made of. Because doesn't... I thought he had braces. Like bracers.
Adam Warlock?
No. Yeah.
No, not that I remember.
What does he have?
He's a gems guy.
Okay, they're more rocks.
He's into the Infinity Gems, like one of them, you know, the soul gem is in his head.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think of somebody that would.
I'm just trying to think because I remember that they teased Adam Warlock at the end of Guardians.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm like, so
we're still waiting.
Maybe they'll retcon it so it's like whatever he uses is this made of the same material as
it was made
the
by
rings.
The people that created him or something.
Maybe that's who created the rings and that's why blah blah blah. And that's how you bring Adam Warlock into the
Sweet.
MCU. Finally.
God damn it.
I know.
God damn it.
I know.
So we'll see. I don't know. But Shang-Chi and the fucking, what's the name of this movie?
And the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Legend of the Ten Rings. Thumbs up.
Yeah, it was good.
If you get a chance to check it out, I would see it.
Yeah.
It's long.
It's longer than it needs to be. Every single one of these movies is definitely longer than they need to be.
Yeah. So I would not, I would be aware of that. But it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I definitely look forward to, what's next? Eternals.
Yes.
Eternals should be interesting.
Eternals is going to be interesting. Again, I don't know a ton about them.
Well, we're going to learn.
We're going to learn.
We need to find an Eternals book so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
I tried looking for one because I went to Second of Charles. Tried to find an Eternals book.
So we can talk
and,
about it.
They have like the Eternals omnibus. So I'm like, I don't want all the Eternals.
Yeah, no, I just want something, a little bit of Eternal.
I need a Eternal.
Yes, singular Eternal to figure out what's going on there. Because, yeah, that should be the next one that comes out. I don't remember when. It's supposed
November.
To come out. November? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
November. And then I forget what's next after that. Because like Venom obviously is not. No, Spider-Man.
That's right.
Home, never coming home.
Home away from home.
Home away from home. Home sweet home.
Yeah.
That comes out then like around Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So shit, we're getting heavy with all these Marvel movies.
Yeah, they're coming back.
They're back.
Yeah, I don't know when Hawkeye's supposed to show up. The Hawkeye show. I don't know when that's coming out.
I know. I'm waiting for the She-Hulk show. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, we got to watch the Loki show still.
All right.
Because that really gets into the multiverse.
We
got to
watch
thing.
What If. I want to watch What If. I got to
apparently
watch...
What If's supposed to be fun. From what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not people. I've heard good reviews.
Yeah.
So I should probably get into that.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think that's all I want to talk about today. Think we're good?
Sure.
I think we've talked about Shang-Chi enough. Go check it out.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, folks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Heroes Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and I got to look up another one. It's all for time.
We're whalers on the moon. We carry a harpoon. I don't remember the rest of that song, but it's a good Futurama episode. Do you want me to talk about Law and Order?
Talk about for a minute.
2 weeks until the season premiere of Law and Order, SVU, and Organized Crime. I do not care about SVU. I have not for a very long time. Ever since Stabler left, I don't care. So I've been trying to catch up on it, and it's weird. I feel like a big part of the show is missing. Obviously, that is my personal opinion. Not everybody agrees with me. But hopefully we will get some fucking, and Olivia Benson needs to get her fucking back blown out by Elliot Stabler. He needs to fuck her so hard she can't walk. And I'm just really hoping.
Open them guts.
Pretty much. I want this woman to forget. She's going to have to relearn how to walk after he fucks her. And I'm really hoping for it. So, September 23rd. Anyway.
Script. Olivia's. Interior. Olivia. Back blown out.
Interior Olivia Benson's apartment, where she's just like playing the song Side to Side by Ariana Grande, which is about getting fucked so hard you can't walk, and then like using a walker to get around her apartment. And they're like, Captain, what's wrong? She's like, nothing, I'm fine. Back spasms.
I'm just imagining, was it the captain? You know, he's always telling him to go
Cragen?
To sleep.
Cragen's not around anymore. She's captain now.
I know, but Cragen's always like, you know, hey, go to bed, go to sleep. He's like, he says, go back. He's like, you know, go get your back blown out.
Go back up at the crib and get your back blown out, Olivia. Jesus Christ. You've been waiting for this man for 23 years. Go get your fucking back blown out.
Find us on Podcast Addict.
How do you do this show with me?
I don't know.
Okay.
You're delightful.
Oh, am I? Is that what this is?
Yes.
Podcast Addict, huh?
Podcast Addict. Find us over there. And please give us some love. And also check me out on Angry Hero 79 on YouTube, where I am opening up action figures.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, folks. And talk to you again next time.
Bye.